So are we ready, Senator? Back from our long break. Next up is people from the Maine Lobstering Union and Lobster 207. We have Dave Sullivan, Ginny Olson, and Jim Hanska. Dave, are you taking it away?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. Senator Marimont, Representative McCrate, and all the honorable members of the committee. My name is David Sullivan. I'm a Grand Lodge representative for the Machinist Union here in the Eastern Territory, born and raised here in Maine. We thought it was important for us to kind of break down, because I know it's kind of repetitive, because industry has a lot of the same problems right now, and it's been really, really bad for us. So we're breaking ours down, and we'll try to keep it as quick as possible, maybe 5 minutes apiece or shorter. we wanted to break it down kind of my roles and responsibility. I oversee Local 207 and Lobster 207 for the Machinist Union. So I thought I'd kind of give that 10,000 foot view of kind of who we are, what we do. And then Ginny Olson's a board member, and she also works for District 4 now with the Machinist Union. And she can kind of give board member perspective, inshore fisherman perspective, because she's an inshore fisherman lobsterman. And then and she's worked on the member packs that she had sent out to all of you. So you had our member packs with you, so you could look through them to see a little bit more about what we do and who we are. And then we have Jimmy Hanscom, who is an offshore fisherman, and he is currently out on his dragger dragging for scallops. So hopefully when we get to him, he can pull his drag up, take a break, give his guys a little bit of a rest. And he thought it was important. He wanted to address this group as well to kind of give you an offshore perspective. So we'll try to keep all of our stuff as kind of short and non-repetitive as possible. As a Machinist Union here in Maine, we represent about 6,000 members, from paper mills to loggers, lobstermen, Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. We've got small businesses, municipalities. We also have Bath Iron Works, which is very large, General Dynamics. And just as kind of a personal point of privilege, I'd like to thank everybody. I see a bunch of faces on here that were down on the strike line. We had a 9-week strike at Bath Iron Works, and it was good to see representatives from the state of Maine, come see their constituents. It was a very tough time. It was 9 weeks. I was down there for most of it. I know I've run into Representative McCrate, Representative Hepler, Dave, Senator Marimont, I believe, was there with Senator Jackson and Speaker of the House, Sarah Gideon. So there was a lot of support, and we really appreciated it. It's nice to see our representatives get out and dig in to see what's actually going on with the actual people. I've been working with the Maine Lobstermen since 2013. During that glut of 2012, they contacted us. I was a director at the district at the time, so I wasn't directly involved for a little while. So got to know the fishermen, heard about some of their issues. We had several bills going to the State House at that time before they were even part of the union that we, got involved with, to kind of, meet with representatives. The Machinist Union spends a lot of time in Augusta, a lot of time in DC. So we felt it was important to kind of get the people's voice heard. So that's kind of how we got involved. Since I've been with the Maine Lobstermen's Union, working with them and hearing their issues, getting to know them, their communities, getting to know them on a personal level, lobstering, I always say before it was cool, they were kind of left alone. It was a good life. You worked hard, you got paid for what you did. And now they've been under attack. I mean, it's been just a nonstop attack on this industry. The things we're facing coming in 2021, it's the worst I've ever seen. So, we've done our best. We try to educate our members. We try to get out and talk to our people. We're different than other industry groups, and I think that's important for this committee too, because we represent not just at the State House and in DC and stuff like that, but we also have a full-fledged, business that we operate through, for the lobstermen, with the lobstermen. They own it. It's called Lobster 207. Their website's lobster207.com. But we actually sell and promote, you know, lobstering in Maine and stuff on our website. So with that full-fledged business that we have roughly 20 employees that we keep year round. You know, we buy millions of pounds of lobsters. We buy scallops. So, and crabs, we buy crab too, because it's a, kind of a bycatch of lobstering. So we move this product all around the world. We do all our own marketing, all our own sales. We were, you know, before the pandemic hit, we would have 18 wheelers heading for Canada, 18 wheelers headed for Boston. We have 10 wheelers. We have 6 wheelers to get into some of the smaller docks. We buy from docks up and down the coast. We've divided our business model into 3 phases because we didn't want to go too big too fast. So our phase one was primarily down east area because most of our membership was kind of Vinyl Haven, Stonington up to Jonesport area. Phase two is mid-coast Maine. Phase three is, of course, southern Maine. We do have members in all 3 of those phases already, but we're primarily buying mostly down east and a little bit in mid-Maine, mid-coast Maine. We picked up some docks down in the Winter Harbor area, so we're kind of in the mid-coast area, but we haven't officially moved into that area on our phases because we want to take it slow and we want to, you know, just get it right. So, you know, with that, we also own our own lobster pound where we can pound lobsters if we'd like, and more infrastructure that we have a dock in Jonesport. We call it a union buying station up there. You don't have to be in the union to sell there, of course, but it's got our name on it and a lot of our fishermen come there. We have some that are non-union, but that's fine. We don't, you know, push or make anybody join. So, you know, having all the infrastructure that we have, having to deal with some of the markets and marketplace, you know, has been very volatile. You know, just prior to COVID, things just seemed to be starting to click a little bit. We were just getting, you know, we were working with some of the tariffs and things like that. We were getting by and we had found ways around that and things were working fine. And then we got hit with, you know, the whale regulations and more whale rules. And now we're in the middle of, you know, several federal lawsuits over, you know, over the right whales. We had Mad Max, for those of you who don't know, the guy from, I believe he's from Massachusetts, the Prince of Wales, filed trying to shut us down here in Bangor. So we had to file onto that suit. We're also part of the big litigation in DC as an intervener. And it's cost our members, you know, over $100,000 just for writing briefs. The union had to file a brief in that case, very expensive. You know, we did that through our, you know, our union. We didn't reach out, you know, any other places. So, we took it upon ourselves to write the brief, with our lawyers here. We use Portland lawyers right here in Maine. And, you know, we absorbed that cost, you know, through our membership. So, it's cost the citizens of Maine a lot of money already just, you know, for this whale litigation. Won't bore you with all the details on that because you probably, most of you already know that stuff, but, you know, some of the regulations that they were trying to impose were going to cause grave danger to our fishermen. And I know we have fishermen, you know, on this committee. So you guys know what I'm talking about for sure firsthand. But, you know, some of the regulations and safety concerns that we have, we want people to be able to go fishing in the morning and come home to their families at night. And we felt like the regulations that they were pushing were going to be very dangerous for fishermen. And we don't want to see our fishermen get killed trying to protect right whales that are not in our waters. As you know, our zones go out about 40 nautical miles. So, you know, the right whales are further out to sea. There's science that supports that. So we were asking, you know, not to kill Maine fishermen to save whales that are not here. If you want to save the whales, you know, it's been our stance that you save them where they need to be saved and where they're at and where, you know, the mothers and the babies and where they, you know, pool up and, you know, off Cape Cod and stuff like that. So, there's good science to support all that. And, we just want to make sure we take care of Maine fishermen. We come here today, basically our message is, you know, is simple. We're just asking that this committee, you know, Marine Resources is an important committee and we thank you for your time on this committee. You all understand, the importance of coastal communities. And if we lose our fishing fleets, in lobstering, I mean, it makes up a lot of our, if not, you know, over 70% of all our coastal communities depend on fishing and lobstering or somebody making a living off the ocean. So You know, we thought for sure, you know, we're going to get through the tariffs and things are going to come back. And then we got hit with the COVID pandemic. And, you know, that created a whole set of challenges for the industry. I'm sure you guys are aware because you are probably involved with other industries as well. But for us in particular, I mean, we hit the panic button early, meeting with all the other industry representatives and DMR, kind of coming up with what if scenarios. What do we do if markets completely collapse? What if, you know, where are we going to go with the lobster? Fishermen are still getting up every morning at 3 o'clock and going out fishing. We got to be able to move the product. So because we do all our own marketing, we decided to turn all our efforts stateside. We do sell to people that sell to different countries still, but we used our website to try to make sure we could promote Maine lobster, you know, Maine fishermen, the state of Maine itself, because we're synonymous with lobster. So we took that opportunity to reach out to people across the U.S. and market our website to people and get affordable lobster, because people were, I think, were tired of eating fast food, but they didn't think they could afford seafood. So we changed our marketing strategies, pushed a lot of good stuff through our website so that we were able to continue to push all our lobster out the door. We weren't sitting on it or trying to figure out what we're going to do with it. So we got very, very lucky there through this pandemic. And then just as we thought we were going to take a nice deep breath, we were getting, you know, hopefully the vaccine was coming out. People were going to start living a normal life again. We got hit with square in the face with wind, and you couldn't take a breath because it was coming so fast. And now we have offshore wind that, you know, everybody wants to come to the Gulf of Maine because of the research and the wind out there, and they want to put up windmills everywhere. The union has met with Trident Wind, and they were here to talk about putting windmills in state waters, and we told them you are absolutely crazy with, you know, most of our fishery is inshore inside the 3 mile line anyways. About 70% of our fishery is inside 3 miles, and then, you know, aquaculture and the things that we have going on, it's very crowded inside that 3 mile line, as you guys know. But we just told them they were out of their mind. They were crazy to try to come here and do offshore wind within 3 miles, and it wouldn't be supported by anybody. So we know that will be coming up probably in front of this committee, or any of you that sit on, you know, the committees, you know, that will be affected by this energy and things like that, that, you know, we would ask that you guys consider, you know, the main, you know, fishing industry, fishing fleets too. Also met with several different people on, you know, how do we get through, you know, how do we survive offshore wind with our iconic industry, which is, you know, been around for generations and generations. And now we have this new technology coming in with Diamond, the state of Maine, and University of Maine with the new floating wind technology. How do we coexist without destroying entire communities? And we're still at odds. We're meeting as industry reps separately without, you know, any other type of representatives there on the calls with us. And we're trying to figure out what works, what doesn't. You know, we've asked Diamond personally when we met with them 2 weeks ago to put the brakes on. You got to stop, because the state of Maine held three industry meetings, one public meeting on floating wind, and it was an embarrassment. People couldn't ask questions. We couldn't get answers. Nobody had answers. And it felt like you were drinking from a fire hose. So I think industry stands pretty steadfast that, you know, without answers, there's no way that anybody can be on board with any of this, because nobody can give us an answer on any piece of this. So we're asking the state of Maine to put the brakes on. We've asked the developer to put the brakes on. I think we need to regroup and see what's best for Maine, and you know, make sure we're fighting for Maine people. I think for me, I probably want to turn it over to Ginny, barring any questions. But, you know, like I said, our ask is very simple, that you look out for the people of Maine, which I know you do. That's what you're charged with. And that, you know, we have a voice at some of these different tables, you know, either with ourselves or with you, you know, taking the message out there that Maine people are important, and we're going to make sure we take care of Maine people first. So if you want, I can maybe take some questions now and then turn it over to Ginny, and then over to Jimmy Hanscom.